Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Melissa, are you a doctor?
I want to be, but I'm not.
I'm not a doctor either, and we're not psychologists.
We're not
experts in anything. In fact, we just chat a lot of shit. So,
and we love giving you guys advice, but as we love said,
giving you guys advice.
Do not take what we're saying as gospel. If you do feel like you need to speak to somebody, please seek professional help.
Hello and welcome back. I'm in a puffer jacket because our studio is 11 degrees.
Yeah, it's horrific. Anyway, we've got a really exciting guest.
It's horrific.
Dr. Anjali, who is the skin queen, but not just skin, right? Like, the more like the laser side of skincare. She's also like trained in nutrition and stuff like that. So it's like all aspects of well-being, health, skin.
She's written a book. She is truly an expert and...
she's gorgeous.
I won't give away her age, but I...
the proof is in the pudding. You know, yeah, when someone's speechless, like, you're like, okay, I trust you because your skin is flawless.
Yeah, flawless.
Yeah.
So natural.
And she's been through her own journey with skin as well, so she really knows...
very passionate.
Yeah, everything about it.
So we're very excited for you guys, and some of you wrote in your skin concerns. As we all know, it's such a big thing that we all have and worry about our skin. Mm-hmm. So we asked her some of those questions, so I hope you guys enjoy this episode.
Yeah, love you guys. We're so excited, guys, because we have such a skincare expert with us, and we're going to pick your brains throughout this whole episode of like so many different... we've got a million questions to ask you on it.
You can ask me everything.
So, Anjali, how did you first get into skin?
My own personal interest in skin and dermatology started because I had real problems with my own skin.
Okay.
And I had... very severe cystic acne as a 12-year-old.
Oh my gosh, as a 12-year-old?
How is that possible?
My father died, actually, around that age, and a couple of months later, my acne developed. Mm-hmm. So I think it was probably a combination of stress,
yeah.
But in addition to that, just that's the age where hormones start kicking in, and acne often develops. So 80% of teenagers will suffer with spots at some point in time.
Yeah.
So for me, my entire teenage years were blighted with just having what one would describe as bad skin. And I remember it just made me feel incredibly self-conscious. And, you know, we don't talk enough about the fact that bad skin can have issues on self-esteem, body image. You get bullied at school. People think you don't wash. They think you're dirty. You know, all of these assumptions that come in as a result of that. So when I ended up going to medical school, there was one specialty that clearly stuck out for me, and it was skin, because I got the patients. Yeah. And the one thing that I got was just not the fact that they were worried about what their skin looked like, it's how they felt about it as well. So personally for me, I think, to be totally honest, I've ended up doing what I do because of my own issues with my skin.
That's so amazing.
I also feel like that's the best way for it to happen, because you can really like understand, and you've been in those shoes, you know, when someone hasn't been there and they're like, you just don't get it.
I had bad skin and it was so awful. It was just the worst thing ever.
I mean, I think you guys would agree, but I think unless you've had problems with your skin, people just don't understand what it's like. It's really hard to explain to people what it's like.
And I think at that age, like, you don't have the makeup. Firstly, makeup, like we said earlier, we said before we started recording, it doesn't cover it up. You just really feel so self-conscious. But also, there are a lot of people at that age who have flawless baby skin.
Yeah.
And then you're comparing yourself, and it's just all, it's a really horrible thing to go through.
Yeah.
That's the thing, particularly with acne. It's like you can hide the redness, you can't hide the bumps, you can't hide the texture. That's the
thing, it's the texture. And then sometimes it can sometimes look worse. Like sometimes if I've got a red spot, I mean, I quite like it what people do. They now are drawing on like a little freckle.
Yeah, my sister does that. Which I'm like, God,
that's just so smart. And then it's like you don't even really look at it. But I've had like this spot on my forehead recently that was like, I guess it was hormonal because it was under the skin. It never really got red, but it was like almost looked like a clear mole under my skin. And I was like, crikey, I can't do anything about that. And it just shines in the light and that you just have to embrace it.
What was your skin journey when you were younger from that cystic acne?
So I think probably similar to what a lot of people do, when you first develop trouble with your skin, I think, I mean, back then, this was like the 90s. So I was straight reading every like magazine I could get my hands on, buying every bit of skincare I was able to with the pocket money that I
had. Blemish control from Simple.
Totally. Clearasil.
What was that Clearasil? That god-awful stuff.
Yeah. Tea Tree Oil.
Clean and Clear.
Toothpaste. I used to put that on my skin. All of that. Pseudocreme.
All of that. And then after a while, you realise that's not working. And then after that, I think I eventually nagged my mother into taking me to a doctor.
Right.
Ended up seeing a GP, got given a lot of prescription creams. They didn't work either because the acne was far too deep. Then got given antibiotics. Again, I think this is a journey that a lot of people follow. Took antibiotics for a while. They kind of worked, but didn't really. And then after having pretty much tried everything out there, ended up with a dermatologist. And the dermatologist put me on a medication called isotretinoin or Roaccutane.
Okay.
But I have such a clear recollection of this because I think I was probably about 14, 15 at the time. And he was a much older dermatologist. And for me, I was worried about the spots, but I was also worried about all the scarring that I had developed as well. And I remember saying to him, is there anything that you can give me that's going to fix the scars? And he just was like, no, you're just going to have scars for the rest of your life. Here's your pills, off you go. And I just burst into tears. And I could see the look on this guy's face was just, it's really inconvenient having a 14-year-old girl crying in my clinic at the moment. I just need to get her out of here, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think a lot of people have experiences like that, don't they? Where you go and you try and speak to somebody about your skin and you're just dismissed.
I also think sometimes it's no offense to these maybe older generational like dermatologists. I once had some like random bumps on one side of my face. Do you remember? I had like 3 months of these bumps. It was almost like tiny acne, but on one cheek. It was really bizarre. So I went to this dermatologist, which is meant to be like the Beckham's dermatologist or whatever.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, it's acne. It's full on acne. And he gave me antibiotics, all these topical creams. And I was just like, what? And I was like, what's the cause of it? He was like, I don't know. It could have been trauma a year ago that happened to you. Now it's coming out your skin. It was all this bizarre information and it was all just like, off you go. And I was like, you can't just tell me I've got acne and give me a bunch. It's obviously not, it's something like what? Yeah. They just are right onto the next. They want to give you something that's going to just clear it up quickly and they don't care, do they?
And
finding
you just,
the root cause.
You don't want a diagnosis just out of the blue like that either, particularly if it's like a couple of spots. You don't want to be labelled with this.
I know.
And then not be told, what can I do?
What's
is there
the
stuff
root
I can
cause?
Change my skincare? Should I check my hormones? There's a whole load of other stuff that
there's
goes along
so
with
much.
That.
Yeah. But the Roaccutane, I went on Roaccutane too, and it was, for me, it was like the best thing I ever did. But I know people have serious, it's very, like people have
a lot of side effects from it.
It's a strong medication and it's a powerful drug. It worked for me as well. Generally speaking, if you do a course of isotretinoin, a course is about 6 months. And the amount of drug that you have to take is calculated on your body weight. So there's a target magic number that you have to hit.
Well, you have to get weighed and you get your blood test done and it's quite regimented like that.
Exactly. And 60 to 70% of people that do one course of isotretinoin will never ever get acne again. Another
amazing.
It is amazing. And that's pretty good numbers, actually, for any medical intervention. But then you've got another 20 to 30% that might need to do a second course. That could be in a year's time. That could be 20 years down the line. And then you've got about another 10% where it's a bit of a chronic issue. So you do clear with the drug, but it will come back. And then you'll take it again and you'll clear and then it will come back. So for me, I am in that 10%. So I've had multiple courses of isotretinoin over the years. It works for me. I've had every other acne treatment going as well. But I also know for me as an individual, because I'm a chronic acne sufferer, it'll come back again in a few years. I'll have to treat it again in a few years' time.
You're kidding me. And with Roaccutane, for me, I found, and I have no idea, but I want to get into this with you. And I then got melasma, and I don't know whether it was because I wasn't wearing, like, you have to be really careful with the sun cream.
You do if you are particularly fair skinned as well. So that's absolutely right. So one of the side effects of isotretinoin, so it's super high doses of vitamin A, but it can make you sensitive to the sun. In the same way that if you were taking vitamin A in supplements,
sure,
could do the same to you as well. So if you have got a predisposition to a condition like melasma or pigmentation, hormones can also drive that separately as well. So if you take the combined oral contraceptive pill that contains estrogen,
I think it was that.
Must have been that.
That can also be a driver too. So a lot of people go on the pill when they go on isotretinoin because one of the guidelines is you have to take contraception. So it happens at the same time. And then it may not be the drug. It might make you a bit sun sensitive, but if you started the pill at the same time, that may have a contributory factor.
They don't sort of warn you this can happen, do they? Or do they?
No. And that's another thing that's really scary is when you get told you've got melasma and they're like, well, there's nothing we can do about it. I literally was like, what?
Yeah.
But there is, I
there
guess.
Is. There are treatments of melasma. Melasma, a bit like for some people with acne, it is a chronic condition.
Yeah.
So, for example, if you came to see me for melasma, I'd be lying to you if I said to you, if you do all of this stuff, it will go away and it will never, ever come back again. That's not true. But I can certainly control it. So there are things that we can give you that will reduce the pigmentation and it will stay that way for a period of time with maintenance. But then it may come up again and then you have to do the treatments again. Mm. So there'll be periods that you're on treatment and periods that you're off treatment, but it can be controlled.
Yeah, I went on just before my wedding in the winter months, I went on
tranexamic acid.
Acid, the tablet though.
Yes.
Yeah, so that I did that in the winter or the summer, I think, because it's, and then winter we tried.
That worked amazingly for you. You've not had an ounce since.
Yeah,
nothing.
It was amazing.
The tablet's very effective, actually. It is off-label, which means it's not licensed for the treatment of melasma, but it does work for melasma because it interrupts the pigmentation pathway. But combining it with like lasers or peels or topical creams, as well as taking the pill on and off, 3 months on, 3 months off, works very well.
We've got so many questions.
We do have so many questions.
I could just sit and ask you everything about
Should
me
Should we
personally.
Just ask what your current skincare routine is?
Yes.
So heads up, I don't work for any of the brands I'm going to recommend. This is just stuff that I happen to use and buy. So currently, face wash wise, I use the CeraVe Hydrating Cream to Foam Cleanser morning and evening. And the reason I use that is because it's super gentle because it's a cream cleanser, but I am still a little bit oily combination, so it will foam up. So I know that my T-zone is still squeaky clean. It also removes makeup very well.
That's important. It's when people like use cleanser and then they have to use a makeup remover as well. I'm like, no, that's too high maintenance for me. I just need it all in one.
Like, I agree. I don't love double cleansing. I'd much rather use one product that you can get rid of everything. The only thing is you then have to make sure that you have massaged it in for a good 30 to 60 seconds before you rinse it
off
to make sure the makeup goes completely. And then I use an eye cream and a moisturizer, and I like the Murad Vitamin C.
Everyone says talks to me about that. Vitamin C is so essential, isn't it?
It is.
Especially for like pigment, right? It like helps even skin tone, all that stuff.
It will help with pigment, but it also helps your sunscreen work better as well.
Oh.
Because vitamin C is an antioxidant. Oh. So it reduces damage from free radicals. So these harmful molecules that we get in sun and in pollution. I mean, we live in a pretty dirty, polluted, filthy city.
Mm-hmm.
So vitamin C or an antioxidant combined with your sunscreen will reduce the damage from that, and therefore it'll help your sunscreen work a little bit better as well.
Genius.
In terms of when you're choosing a good vitamin C, if you go for something that's got L-ascorbic acid on the ingredients list, that's probably the most potent pure form of vitamin C that you can get. So if you go back to the clinical trial data, that's what a lot of the original studies were done on. So it's the most effective type that you can get. Vitamin C also works really well with other combined ingredients if you're looking for a serum. So combining vitamin C with vitamin E, for example, or vitamin C and E with ferulic acid, you almost get like double the potency. So pure Vit C is great, but you can combine.
Okay.
I don't know why whenever I use Vit C, I get like almost like a rash. It looks like it's like a red dots. They can be covered up. But do you remember I came in and I had it?
Yeah.
That's when I use vitamin C.
It might be. Some people can be a little bit sensitive to vitamin C. It's a great ingredient, but if your skin is a little bit sensitive, it can cause a little bit of irritation. The other ingredient that can do that is niacinamide. A lot of people like using that for pigment and for oil control as well. doesn't suit everybody, or the formulations don't suit everybody. So you might be better off going for maybe a different variation of vitamin C than the one that you tried.
Okay.
But I would recommend, as a general good routine, cleanse, moisturize, sunscreen in the morning. Yeah. In the evening, you cleanse, you moisturize if you need to. I don't usually moisturize at night because I don't need to. My skin is oily. And then I use a vitamin A or a retinoid product at night before I go to sleep.
I got told when you use a retinol product, you should not even, because when I went through a stage of using it, I'm not at the moment. It was very dry when I put it on, but they were like, you shouldn't put a moisturizer on top because it dilutes the product. You've got to sort of, and it was working. I'd wake up and it was, my skin was like so small pores, no oil.
Yeah.
So I just had to sit with that sort of tight, because I like to go to bed with literally this thick moisturizer on my face on top of everything. Seal it all in.
Me too.
Okay, so what I would say with vitamin A in general and that whole thing about diluting the effect, it depends on the potency or the strength of the vitamin A or retinoid that you're using. So retinoids are just an umbrella term for vitamin A creams in general. Then you've got prescription vitamin A creams. So these are things like tretinoin or adapalene, which somebody would prescribe you. Then you've got the stuff that you can buy in skincare. So those are things like retinaldehyde and retinol. Retinaldehyde is stronger than retinol.
Right.
So when you are starting a vitamin A, you probably want to start with something you buy over the counter. So something like a retinol.
Okay.
And what you probably want to do with that is at nighttime, so you've washed your face, you've got a clean base. Mm-hmm. I would normally recommend you use a pea-sized blob of that retinol and you start using it once or twice a week initially.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Do not use it on consecutive nights. Maybe do it like a Monday and a Thursday. So your skin gets a recovery on the in-between nights, thin layer, full face, avoid the eye area. And I would suggest, if your skin is sensitive, maybe 5-10 minutes later, go brush your teeth, get ready for bed, put a moisturizer on top.
Yeah.
And that way you're not really diluting it down, because you've allowed absorption of one
go into the skin
and then absorption of the other. Just don't smack the layers on top of each other.
Oh my God. So it's allowing that. Because I do often think, I'm like, God, it feels like it's absorbed by the time I go to bed. Yeah. And I'm like,
because you'll do your skincare sometimes at like 5 p.m.
Yeah, I do it the minute I get it. Yeah.
Okay, you can definitely moisturize before bed then.
Because I'm like crispy. And also like it's a bit dry around my nose.
Yeah.
Do I like, just put a...
Yeah, so that's really common actually. Most people do find they get a little bit of peeling around here and it's usually around the mouth area as well. So that's often because product pools in those areas as well. So it's almost having a slightly higher concentration of effect, because it's kind of catching in the natural
makes
folds
sense
of the skin.
That it would catch those places.
Yeah, not a good place to get crispy peeling skin.
No, it's
skin,
not.
Though.
It's I hate a crispy nasal area.
What you need to do though is cotton bud tip, apply the moisturizer first to those areas. So you've created a barrier or a sealant,
like,
and then
tan.
Put your retinol on top.
Oh, can I ask this question? How much does what you're eating impact upon your skin? Because I feel like this is also something that people don't think about. And I listened to this like clip, and it was like this woman who was like a skincare expert, and she was like, you know, and often people are like, I eat so healthily though. I wake up and I have an oat milk latte. And she's like, that already is where you're going wrong with the oat milk and stuff like that. It's actually affects it more than you think.
Yes. Yeah, so there's a couple of things I'd say. So the first thing is, if you have a certain medical skin condition, so you've got acne, you've got rosacea, you've got eczema, you've got psoriasis, that's multifactorial. So some of that is just purely down to the way that your skin cells are programmed, the way that your genetics, your family history, your DNA are. And there's only so much you can do to change that. But there's absolutely no doubt that lifestyle factors, diet being one of them, can also have an impact in skin. So I also am not a fan of oat milk either. And it's one of the questions that I do ask patients when they come to clinic. What is your diet like? Is it inclusive? Are you vegan? Are you vegetarian? Is there anything you eat or don't eat? Do you have dairy? And the reason why I'm not a fan of oat milk is because of all of the plant milks that are out there, it's got the highest glycemic index. Yeah. So what that means is, when you have the oat milk, it really causes a spike in your blood sugar levels. A spike in your blood sugar levels lead to a spike in another hormone called insulin, which then leads to another spike in another hormone called IGF-1. And IGF-1, further downstream, has got similar effects to testosterone. And even women have testosterone. And what testosterone does to our oil glands is it makes them a bit big and plump and juicy.
God.
You're kidding me.
essentially, high glycemic index foods have been linked to particularly female adult acne. So I always say to people, if you're going to go for a plant-based milk, you're better off going for either unsweetened soy or almond milk over something like oat milk. I mean, people love oat milk because it tastes great, and it tastes great because it's full of sugar.
Yeah,
rapeseed oil, which makes it so creamy. That sunflower
oil,
So that's one example of people cutting out, for example, dairy, switching to oat milk.
Thinking they're being healthier.
And actually, probably the dairy, the full-fat dairy, is better for your skin than the oat milk is. So that's one good example. The other issue that I think I see a lot of is just generally with this kind of drive for various reasons for plant-based diets or vegan or vegetarian diets is just a lot of nutritional deficiencies that occur off the back of that. So I often see people that are low in B12, folic acid, for example, iron as well. And one of the biggest knock-on effects of that is hair loss and hair shedding. Your body will cling on to everything it sees as important. It sees your hair as an accessory.
Fine.
So your nutrients don't end up going to your hair. So that's one of the most common reasons, for example, particularly in women, I would say, aged between about 20 and 40 that come to my clinic and say, I'm noticing my hair is shedding. Often you can trace it back to nutritional deficiencies being a primary cause for it. So that's another example where diet is quite important.
Mm.
If you've got inflammatory skin conditions, having high levels of omega-3 in your diet can help. So 2 to 3 portions of oily fish a week.
Okay.
So wild farm salmon, mackerel, sardines. Now, if you can't do that, some people don't like fish, some people won't eat fish for whatever reason. And if that's the case, you can take a supplement. But it is always better from your diet.
Of course, yeah.
Than from a supplement.
Oh, okay.
So sometimes it's also about thinking about what you can incorporate rather than what you can take away.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
You know, there are so many skin, like, this is the thing to do, and TikTok trends and memes all these things.
Yep.
Are there any skin fads out there at the moment that you're like, this just isn't working, it's actually damaging skin, or it's just a load of
nonsense?
Or
treatments, or even things like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's an absolute minefield, isn't it? Absolute minefield. The biggest one that I've seen recently, actually, that's hit the press quite a lot as well, is teenage skincare. And brands marketing colourful products, telling teenagers that they need to be using lots and lots of active ingredients. And the knock-on effect of that is, number one, kids wrecking their skin barrier because they don't need to be using complex, expensive products.
Mm.
Number two, the pressure it's putting on parents and keeping up with the Joneses to buy their kids these expensive products that they don't need. But the third thing is, we're essentially telling teenage girls that if they don't do all of these things, they're going to age. Oh my God, how awful is that? So we're also at risk of giving a group of individuals that already have a high rate of mental health issues more issues about self-esteem and body image because they're petrified of looking and getting older. Not that long ago, I saw a 14-year-old who was worried about her crow's feet. And I think that's really sad.
Aging is a blessing.
No.
I think it's just so sad.
14-year-old. Yeah. That is so sad.
God, I didn't think about anything like that until maybe the last few years where I actually started to get full-on lines on my forehead and I'm like, shit.
Yeah.
But
so aging is a blessing.
Aging's a blessing.
It's a
I also think people get more attractive as they get older, weirdly. Do you know what I mean? Like, I look at myself as a teenager. My face is way... I guess you just have more of a plump face. I'm like, I feel like I look better now than I did when I was a teenager.
I think that's also a confidence thing as well.
Yeah, maybe you just grow into yourself and you just feel better about yourself mentally. Yeah.
That is so sad. And you're so right. Like, can you imagine being like, Mum, we have to get these ingredients. And my mum would be like, no.
This is the problem.
And then I'd be like, well, my skin's not as nice as everyone else's.
Yeah.
Like, the pressure when you're that age anyway.
It's crazy.
And it's like Penelope, a Kardashian, did that whole TikTok beauty regime. She's like sick.
Stop.
Yeah. That's where it started from, I think. She was using like all these vitamin C and all these serums. She put it on TikTok, and then all these kids obviously are like,
I need
she's
that.
She's seven. I've not done any of this.
How old was I when I first started using skincare? I mean, I must have been like 12, something like that, 12, 13. Yeah. But my mum was a beauty therapist, so she was quite good at making sure it was just like, I just had like a cleanser to wash my face at night with and I moisturized. It wasn't like this insane. Mm. And then I think when I was 15, 16, I started using that Dermalogica Clean Start range, which was for teenagers. I actually think it was quite simple. I think it was like cleanse, tone, moisturize. But God, they I did market that to teenagers.
Yeah.
And it was for teens and blah, blah, blah. It didn't damage my skin, thank God. It was all right. But like, it was essentially that.
For teenagers, we know that probably one of the most common issues they're going to have is probably oily, blemish-prone skin. So cleansing once or twice a day, using a light, oil-free, water-based moisturizer, and using a sunscreen. Like, I think that's a good routine for a teenager. I think the problem arises when you're tying it into this idea of youth and being a hallmark for beauty, essentially, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's bad enough, I think, for women where we already have issues with like being told we have to be a certain body weight or that we have to look a certain way. And now it's like skin as well and kids worrying about it from 6 years old.
Yeah,
you know, what kind of world are we living in where that's what we're allowing to happen?
I know, it's crazy.
Like, you can't really tell how old half the world is these days.
I know, I look at some people and I'm like, you could be 20, but you also could be 30 and I can't put my finger on what age.
Or you could be 60 or you could be 12.
Yeah, I know.
But I think that a lot of that comes from treatments.
Of course it does. Yeah. Which is obviously an amazing, that part of it is incredible that like we can like reverse aging. Would you say reverse aging?
So I think it's a combination of certain things that you do will bank collagen.
Right.
So you're not reversing the aging process because we're still all getting older.
Sure.
But you can hang on to what you've got for a little bit longer.
Yeah, prolong.
Exactly.
The youthfulness.
And then some of it is just replacing what's been lost temporarily. So it's not going to fix soap fillers, for example. You can use them to lift.
Yeah.
They're not going to like slow down the aging process, but they will lift for long enough that it looks like you've slowed down the aging process. So there's the perception of it rather than it actively doing something versus, say, a laser treatment, which may boost collagen in your skin. And that will bank on and help you hang on to what you have.
People are getting more awareness now. Like, it's more about getting the skin treatments rather than like pumping your face full of filler. Talking about collagen, what would you recommend? Supplements? I know there's so many sachets. There's all these, you put collagen in your coffee. What sort of ones would you think are the best and how do they work and what's your view on them?
So I don't take collagen supplements. I'll start by saying that. Okay. And what I will say is that collagen is a protein, like taking a protein supplement after the gym, like having a piece of steak if you eat meat. And if you look at most of the clinical trial data we currently have at this stage, most collagen supplements are broken down when you take them in through your mouth into smaller bits called peptides and amino acids.
Okay.
And then those amino acids travel off to build protein in bits of the body where you need it. And there isn't really any good data that shows that if you take oral collagen, it will build collagen in your body.
Right.
Now, the reason for that is partly because there are over 30 different types of collagen in your body. Type 1 and type 3 are the main collagen types in your skin.
Okay.
So when those bits of collagen are broken down, there is no way these tiny bits floating around in your gut know, oh, right, okay, I have to go and make type 1 collagen. And I'm going to travel off to like the dermis, one of the layers in the skin in someone's face. It just doesn't have the ability to do that.
Right.
Most of the collagen supplement studies that we have are very, very small clinical trials. So they are not done on a large number of patients. They are often done by the companies that produce them.
Right.
So there is a little bit of a conflict of interest. And thirdly, as a general rule, if you are the kind of person, personality-wise, that cares about collagen, you probably already care about your skin. So you're probably already following a really good skincare routine. You're probably already using vitamin A. You're probably already using sunscreen on a fairly daily basis. And you may well already be doing other treatments as well.
Yeah.
The question then becomes, how much of it is the supplement that you're taking versus all of the other things that you're doing? Now, I'm going to caveat some of that by saying there is some new data that's coming out that seems to suggest that marine collagen is superior to other collagen types. I am willing at some point in the future to change my mind on collagen supplements when the data is there.
Yeah.
But right now, I think there are better ways that you can spend your money.
Okay, so we've got some questions from the listeners. We're going to quick fire them at you because we kept you for so long and chewed your ear off. Okay, should we just go?
Yeah.
Do I have to double cleanse? I wash my face every night, but I worry I'm drying my skin out.
If you have got naturally dry skin, you don't need to double cleanse unless you wear a lot of makeup and sunscreen. Otherwise, it may not come off, or go for a product that can take everything off, like, for example, CeraVe Hydrating Cream to Foam Cleanser.
Is baby Botox a real thing? I'm 25 and considering starting Botox, combat some wrinkles, but I don't want to spend loads of money if there are products which could work. What age would you recommend people starting to use Botox?
The right time to start Botox isn't age dependent. It's more to do with wrinkles. When lines are developing. So somebody who's got naturally very fair skin, who's had a lot of sun exposure, will develop lines much sooner than somebody who's got dark skin, who hasn't been out in the sun much.
Right.
So really, it's more about what the skin looks like rather than a physical age of, oh my God, I've turned 25, I've got to go get Botox.
Should you use retinol in your mid-20s? I've had different opinions on when you should start using it.
So if you have fair skin, lots of sun exposure, mid-20s is probably about right.
Great.
I'm in the process of coming off the pill and I've started experiencing really bad breakouts. Help. Yeah.
This is incredibly common because the pill is a treatment for acne and it's been suppressing it. So really making sure skincare is spot on, using ingredients like salicylic acid, benzoyl peroxide can help. Failing that, you may need prescription creams like retinoids, which can help acne. Failing that, there are certain laser treatments and peels which can help.
Okay, I have the biggest pores ever. They look like potholes on my face. How do I get rid of them?
So, pore size, first of all, is genetically inherited. So partly the way your skin is programmed, partly related to sun exposure, and partly if you've got oily or acne-prone skin, your pore size is going to be more prominent.
Right.
So those are the people it tends to affect. You cannot physically change your pore size, but what you can do is you can reduce the appearance of them. The way that we can do that is either by using prescription vitamin A creams like retinoids, regular chemical peels, or laser treatments. Okay. There's very little one can do at home that's probably going to make a
big
difference.
Make them different.
Fascinating. Oh my gosh, we are so
thank
grateful.
You so much.
We
I feel like we didn't have you for long enough. I have way more
questions.
I think
it went really quickly.
I know it did.
So quickly. Thank you
thank
so,
you so
much
for coming.
Yeah, you're
and
so welcome.
To all of you listeners who want to go check out, what is your Instagram handle?
Anjali Marto and Self London.
Amazing. Okay. And we'll leave all of the link and
the
also
link
the book.
And where the clinic is and everything like that. Oh, yeah, and your book.
That's a beautiful
wow,
book.
I love the colour.
It's very pink, isn't it?
That is
right.
So cool.
Also, guys, coffee table book. Just stunning for a bit of
that's
life.
That's amazing.
I wrote a book a few years ago.
Oh, my God. Okay, the skincare Bible.
The skincare Bible.
We're both buying that.
We're going to buy it. It's going to sit there on our table as well. In the back.
Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
For coming in. And we will see you soon.
That was amazing.
So
it went far too quickly.
There's so many questions about so many small things that add up to the bigger picture of skincare, I feel like.
So many.
Anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed the episode.
Love you guys.
Bye guys, love you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.